Welcome to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. I'm Monica, your host, and I am so excited you're joining me. Each week here on the pod, we open the Bible, we talk about prayer, we explore what the Catholic Church teaches. For me, getting familiar with God's Word transformed my relationship with Him, and I want that for you too. I want you to be comfortable in the Word. I want you to be familiar with it, confident, Bible literate. I am here to help you one week at a time. Let's dive in. Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. We took a brief hiatus in the past couple of weeks just with the craziness of summer camp, and I blinked and it is the last week of July. How did that even happen? We're approaching August very rapidly, which makes me excited because some of my very favorite feast days are in August. I love the month of August, and in this year particularly, I get to be with my family a lot in August. That's a lot of fun. But I'm introducing a new mini-series, a mini-series that may not sound very much like the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon because it's not explicitly the Bible, it's actually saint-focused and saint-forward, but I promise it's actually going to be quite biblical too. We are talking this month, for the next 5 episodes, about a saint who has grown so near and dear to my heart, a saint you may not recognize, hopefully you do. Her name is Saint Jane Frances de Chantal. And she's most commonly known for being very good friends with the doctor of the church, St. Francis de Sales. You've probably heard of him from Introduction to the Devout Life, or the Treatise on the Love of God, or the Salesian Order, or just the fact that so many people have been influenced by his mind. He's a doctor of the church. They call him the Gentleman Saint, or the Love Doctor, because he loved the Song of Songs. He was all about the fact that the laity could be holy, and he was a spiritual director for lots of women, particularly widows, who generally would not be seen in that time period as like worth investing in because they're not religious sisters, they're not priests, they're not men, but he saw in them what he sees in the whole laity of the church, that all of us are called to holiness. That whole universal call to holiness language that John Paul the Great uses is not original to John Paul the Great, even though it's been more widely, I guess, pronounced by Vatican II and John Paul II, like, everybody's called to holiness, not just the priests and religious. St. Francis de Sales knew this and was saying this alongside many other saints too, early on. So I want to tell their story. As a matter of fact, I have told their story. I encountered these saints a couple years ago and have been totally just loving them, reading their letters that they exchanged back and forth. And I wrote a book, a novel, that actually takes their story from the 1600s where they lived in France and places it in modern day 21st century America. It's a rewrite of their story. Obviously, there's some creative liberty in there, but the whole idea was that I felt like Jane and Francis came and sat down on my couch and were talking to me. And I was like, you guys understand me. You're so relevant to me. I get you. And I want to make this link clear for other people too. I want other people to see that you're not just an old saint from the past that we see paintings of and habits. And, you know, St. Francis de Sales has a receding hairline. St. Jane de Chantal is only painted like in one picture as like an older woman. You know, we look at these saints and we're like, I have nothing in common with them. But it's just not true. We have so much in common with them. And especially for me, as I entered into motherhood and kind of tended towards being a perfectionist mom, I was like, whoa, where did this perfectionist tendency come in me? I found a real kindred spirit in St. Jane de Chantal, who was a perfectionist and had 5 kids and was trying to do it all on her own power until she met the gentle Francis de Sales, who corrected her away from kind of serving an idol of like her own holiness, and instead reintroduced her to the gentle Jesus. Anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to tell her story in order. Over the next 5 episodes, I will be telling more and more pieces of her story. But for today, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about how I met this saint, or these saints rather. Really, I met Jane, and then through Jane Frances. Tell you a little bit about her story. Tell you a little bit about the Bible verse that really inspired my whole novel, which I wrote in the past 2 years or so. So that's what we're jumping into today. I hope you're along for the ride and that you learn a little bit more about Jane. And if you're interested, I'll say this again probably way too many times throughout the next 5 episodes, but my book is going to be available self-published on Amazon on August 12th, which is her feast day. So go check it out if you want to get it. I'm trying to make it nice and reasonably priced so that you can send it to a friend who might need it or pick it up for yourself. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. I never knew who Jane de Chantal was. I had heard of Francis de Sales because, you know, most people have. But I knew that there was in the church like this category of saints who were friends with one another and contemporary with one another. And that always attracted my heart because I thought, you know, I want to be friends with saints and for me and my friend to make it to heaven together too. And so when I found that I had stumbled upon two saint friends, like Scholastica and Benedict, they're siblings, I think they're twins, and they're saints. Or Martin de Porres and Saint, what's her name? Rose of Lima. They were contemporary and they were friends with one another. Like, I love finding those connections. And so when I found that Jane and Francis were friends and lived at the same time and encouraged each other to heaven, I was like, okay, I'm hooked, right? But I first read about Jane de Chantel in Colleen Campbell's book about, it's called The Heart of Imperfection, The Heart of Perfection, something like that. I'll put it in the show notes. But she lists getting to know a different saint in every chapter, and how encountering this saint's story in life actually helped her in her relationship with God. And I'm familiar with this concept because I grew up totally educated about the saints. My mom just loved doing saint stories, and we did this club called Saint of the Month in which we'd learn really obscure saints. When I was even like in eighth grade, I was writing short stories about, you know, Blessed Isidore Bacanja and Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity and a little bit more obscure saints, especially the martyrs. They really attracted my heart. And I tend to be like a person, like God speaks to me through people. I love heroes. I love the obscure stories. So saints really kind of just fits what my heart goes for. In contrast, you know, my friend Nora, who was on the pod a little bit ago, she doesn't really encounter God through people as much as through nature, right? So she, all of her big powerful moments with the Lord are when she's like in nature. So each of us, I think, has a different love language in our hearts of how God speaks to us, sure, but mine is people. And so the saints really fit with me. So this book really intrigued me. I picked it up at the recommendation of a friend when I was newly postpartum with my first baby, or maybe I was still pregnant. And, you know, the whole perfection word, I was like, I'm not a perfectionist, totally not. But as I was reading, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I might be. Like, I see Colleen's writing really revealed to me that my desire for like excellence might actually be a little bit of self-reliance and perfectionism and trying to earn love and trying to prove to people how cool I am, right? Anyway, so there's a chapter in there in which she says something like, you know, here is Jane, who is this perfect woman. She is raising 5 kids. She's homeschooling. She's running the estate. She's got a great head for business. She's doing 1,000 penances. She's getting up in the night to do her holy hour. She's wearing hair shirts. She's fasting. She's praying. And she meets Francis de Sales, and he says to her, stop everything. Stop every austere practice you have, because you're not worshiping God. You're just doing the thing that you think makes you holy, and that's actually damaging your relationship with God. So stop everything and we're going to rebuild. And that struck me because I was like, what? That's not usually advice you hear spiritually. It's like, do more, pray the rosary. I just got to get to adoration. I got to get more on my plate. I have to do more fasting. It's my problem. So I need to do more penance to punish myself, to get myself into gear. And he was like, whoa, there is trouble if you are trying to do holy things, but you're missing the person that you're supposed to be connecting with, which is God. A relationship with a person is what we're after, not just a series of practices. And of course, there is a place and a goodness to fasting and penance, of course. But it has to be in right relation. You have to first know God and love God and make sure that you know God loves you before you kind of approach a relationship with God as like full of these austere and severe penances and practices. Anyway, so that was the first kind of nugget where I was like, who is Jane de Chantel? I've never heard of this girl. And I started researching her and getting a little bit more into her story. Then I follow this podcast, which I love, from Father Serby. He's a priest in the Diocese of Arlington. He is currently at the Basilica of Mary in Old Town Alexandria. But, you know, that's just current right now. He has, I'll put his podcast in the show notes too, because he publishes all of his homilies, and he published one, like, again, when I was newly postpartum, called Jane de Chantel and the Superwoman Squeeze. And it was a short episode, maybe 8 minutes, but he talked about how this Jane de Chantel girl, the same one I had read about a little bit ago, she was trying to be perfect, and she felt that perfect mom pressure and the Superwoman squeeze of like, I have to do it all. And his episode was about perfectionism, and I just related to it. And I was like, this is a story from my heart. I really need her story. So essentially, again, I'll go into more detail in the following episodes, but Jane was, you know, lived in the 1600s in France. She was of the time period of arranged marriages. She was married young to a man she actually really did love. It was a love match as well as an arranged marriage. She married a guy named Christophe, or we call him Chris in the story, and they had a happy marriage together for a while. He was not the best at business, so she actually helped kind of recover his estate from financial ruin. They lived at land Chantal, so Jane de Chantal, her real name is Jane Fremont, that was her maiden name, but she married Christophe Rasputin, I don't know if I say that right, Rasputin, and they were the Baron and Baroness of the de Chantal. So anyways, all these names. So she helped turn around his estate, this was awesome, and then when they had their fourth child together, just a few weeks postpartum, he was in a hunting accident and died and left her a widow. I know, spoiler alert, right? But then she not only was a widow, but she was blackmailed by her father-in-law. Her father-in-law forced her to come live at his home with his two children and educate them and run his estate because she was so good at it. So then she had six children to bring up. There's a seventh child in there who she finds is the illegitimate child of her husband who had been in an affair. So she finds this out. We don't know exactly when she finds it out, but this horrible blow that the man she really loves and is married to and has four children with actually has a mistress. And so then she's raising his other child. So she's got five of these children. Then she's got two of the children of her father-in-law. She's raising them. And again, this is when she's like serving the poor and doing penances and doing everything she's supposed to do. And you can just tell this posture of this woman is like death grip on life. Like, I'm going to make this happen on my own power. I can do this. I have to do this. Everyone's depending on me. And then she meets Francis de Sales at a Lenten sermon. Her brother's a bishop, and so her brother introduced them. And Francis de Sales noticed her in the front row, you know, this beautiful young widow with, like, a slew of children beside her. And he's like, who is that? And he felt immediately that God had entrusted her to him. She had been under the bad spiritual director who had given her all these penances. And Francis de Sales said, I think I'm supposed to get you out from under this spiritual director, and I'm supposed to be your spiritual director now. And so that's what happened. And they exchanged tons of letters, tons of spiritual advice. Jane has burned most of those. So we only get Francis's letters to her, not hers to Francis's for the most part. But a lot of Francis's writing still exists, of course. Yeah, Jane, what she says to Francis when she finally agrees to be directed by him, she says, "See then, my father, my weak heart, which I place in your hands, so that you may apply to it the appropriate remedy." And she was not forced into change by severity, but she was loved into change. She had this bitterness, I mean, obviously from a life of trauma between having bad relationship with her father-in-law, her husband being, you know, cheating on her and also dying, you know, all the stuff she had to hold together. This stony heartedness was really what came out from her story. And of course, I'm reading into it a little bit with creative details because not all this is explicitly written, but I can see in her posture towards Francis and the advice he gives her that she is bitter and that she's hurting and she's got this stony heartedness. And then I come to find that Chantal in French means of stone. So de Chantal means of stone. So I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is a perfect story. It's really a story of Jane of Stone, you know, Jane of a stony heart, and how she is encountered by the love of God through Francis, and she changes from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. She's trying to sustain herself, but then he comes and sustains her. She has to leave the stone behind. This is literally like, there's a Bible verse about this from Ezekiel. It's a promise from the Old Testament, actually, from the prophet Ezekiel, that God will take your heart of stone and change it into a heart of flesh, or rather replace it with a heart of flesh. This is specifically, he's talking about Mount Sinai and the new covenant. The old covenant of Mount Sinai was written in stone, the Ten Commandments, and the new covenant will be written on hearts of flesh. After Pentecost, the people are cut to the heart, and it's like their heart is circumcised. Their heart of flesh is the one where the law of God is on their heart. So this prophecy is definitely like accomplished through the new covenant. But we can also take this and look at this and say, this is God's word to me, that my heart of stone, or Jane de Chantal's heart of stone, will be turned into a heart of flesh. that those rugged, sharp edges in me God cares about and he wants to work on. And he wants to not severely tell me, stop being so sharp and bitter, Monica. But he wants to say, you don't have to do this. Like, I will be your provider. I will be your caretaker. I'm the good shepherd. I will be gentle with you. I think the harshness we exhibit towards others starts with a harshness towards ourselves. And somewhere along the line, we learn to speak poorly to ourselves and to reprimand ourselves harshly. And that's not God's voice. So we learned an incorrect representation of God, that he's wrathful, that he's angry, that he's trying to make us be perfect, that he's unpleased with us. And that's just not the God that Francis knew, and that's not the God he introduced Jane to. So anyways, when I had written a lot of this story, and then I still felt like I was kind of in a little bit of like a, I need to change season. This was last summer, the beginning of summer 2025. My friend McKenna, who I had on the podcast, and I think I've shared this story before, but she invited me to vision board with her. And I picked a card from one of these Bible cards, and it had the Ezekiel verse on it. I will, you know, change your heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And I was like, I want that to be so true. That's such a Jane verse. I want that. So I vision boarded with that. And that summer, last summer, I really felt like God began a transformation in me. And I can really say with confidence that through a lot of just little things over time, I don't have like a Francis figure necessarily. My husband is really a Francis figure for me, but I didn't like meet somebody who changed my life. But through the gentle consistency of my husband, Luke, and then my friend, Mary, consistently speaking such compassion and love to me, this past year, I really think I experienced a transformation of heart. And I feel like it's best described as going from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. And of course, you know, we're humans. Our trajectory is never quite one direction. It's simple. We go up and down. We go backwards. We go forwards. But I just think, oh my gosh, I can see it clearly. Jane, this happened to Jane. This is happening to me. This can happen. God can actually heal our hurting hearts. And just because we're like, I feel hardened, doesn't mean we're never going to get out from under that. Like, God can heal that. I look back a couple years ago, and I was at a place during summer camp when I work at a summer camp, when somebody asked, could they pray with me? And I was like, no, I just didn't want even anybody to pray with me. My heart was so hard at that point that I was like, ugh, prayer, don't pray with me, because I didn't want them to have any type of exposure to my vulnerability, to my sharp edges, to my hardness. And that woman's gone. I'm changed. I'm different. And it's been not just over this past calendar year, but like slowly God has chipped away at my heart. Anyways, all that to say, Jane's story really hit me. This Ezekiel verse is kind of the heart of it. Emily Wilson, who's an author I love, she just came out with a book this past, I think it was 2025 in the spring, a book called Sincerely Stoneheart. It's beautiful. It was after I just finished my manuscript. I saw this title, Sincerely Stoneheart, and I was like, wow, this is interesting, because she's writing a book for women about like being stone-hearted. And that's like the same language that God had been tugging on my heart, Jane Duchantel, Jane of the Stony Heart. And I just think it's a message for women, men too, perhaps, but you know, I know girls like today, that if we've got this stony heart, we feel bitter, we feel like incapable of loving as we ought, that like God can heal that and he wants to. So anyways, I want you, if you feel burnt out, if you feel stony hearted, to take comfort in Jane Duchantel's story, to go get your hands on Francis's writing, which is very encouraging. And yeah, if you want, check out Janie, because it is, I would consider, a great first step to understanding these characters as real people. I just love a good book when it's a very character-driven novel. I love a good book where the characters are so like, I love this character. I wish this character was real. And my hope is that after reading Janie, you'll be like, I wish this character was real. Oh wait, he is. That's Francis de Sales. I can go read his primary text now. And I can, even though it's an old language, I can like be encouraged to keep at it and to learn more about it and to read him, because he's got encouraging things to say to my heart, even if he speaks in an old-fashioned kind of way. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping this is a gateway drug to you for Francis de Sales' writings and to Jane Duchantel's, but she just doesn't have a whole lot of writings left. Okay, so that is episode one. That is what I wanted to share about the very first kind of reason that I wrote Janie. It's a message of hope to the stony-hearted, including to myself. And I wanted to close with this prayer of abandonment that's by Jane Duchantel, It's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it out because, again, we don't have a whole lot of her writings left, so we have to treasure what we do have. So here it is. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O sovereign goodness of the sovereign province of my God, I abandon myself forever to thy arms. Whether gentle or severe, lead me henceforth, whether thou wilt. I will not regard the way through which thou wilt have me pass, but keep my eyes fixed on thee, my God, who guides me. My soul finds no rest without the arms and the bosom of this heavenly providence, my true mother, my strength, and my rampart. Therefore I resolve, with divine assistance, O my Savior, to follow thy desires and thy ordinances, without regarding or examining why thou dost this rather than that, but I will blindly follow thee according to thy divine will, without seeking my own inclinations. Hence I am determined to leave all to thee, taking no part therein, save by keeping myself in peace in thy arms, desiring nothing except as thou incitest me to desire, to will, to wish. I offer thee this desire, O my God, beseeching thee to bless it. I undertake all it includes, relying on thy goodness, liberality, and mercy, and with entire confidence in thee, distrust of myself, and knowledge of my infinite misery and infirmity. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Just as a final word, do hear Jane's language. She's giving a prayer of surrender and abandonment, and though I know it sounds like foreign to our ears, which, by the way, is why you need to rewrite it into the 21st century, so you're like, what is this girl even saying? So go check out Janie. But do you hear how she is ready to abandon everything to the Lord? This is a girl who had to homeschool 7 children by herself and run her father's estate. She's not used to abandoning things. She's not used to saying your will rather than my will. Even if I don't understand, I trust you. She's not used to that. This is her after Francis. This is post-Francis Jane, who has gentled and settled and learned to trust God, that no matter if God looks like he knows what he's doing, he does know what he's doing. So I leave you with that if God can do it in Jane, and if God can do it in me, God can do it in you. See you next episode for more about Jane.